Welcome back. This is Shlomo Schwartz. We are learning Masechta Psachim, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis. The Mishnah says, Chametz shel Nachri, chametz of a non-Jew, she'avar alav ha-Pesach. Pesach passed, and this chametz of the non-Jew, can one have hanoah from it or not? Can a Jew benefit from such chametz? Now, really, not only can you benefit from it, you can even eat the chametz, because there was no problem with the non-Jew having chametz. The reason why the Mishnah chooses to discuss whether it's permissible behana or not is because of the end of the Mishnah, which is going to say that if it was a Jew's chametz that passed over Pesach and it wasn't properly disposed of or sold, then it would be asur behana. So because at the end of the Mishnah it mentions asur behana, so at the beginning of the Mishnah it also, for consistency, the style of the Mishnah is often to use the same term, so it says mutar behana. So therefore, chametz of a non-Jew that passes over Pesach, you want to go to the supermarket and buy from a non-Jewish supermarket, you want to buy some chametz, there's no issue, mutar behana. It's mutar behana, and as we said, it's even mutar be'achila, to eat, no problem. Mishal Yisrael, however, if it was chametz of a not of a Jewish person, then asur behana. It would be asur behana after Pesach if it was not sold and gotten rid of in accordance with Chazal's guidance. Because since you, the Rav explained, since you were over in Bal Yiroah, Bal Yimotze, you were not allowed to Minat Torah have this chametz in your house, and you did anyway. So the Rabbanon gave him a knas, penalized him that he cannot use this chametz, he cannot have an or from this chametz. It's all a knas midrabanan. And the Mishnah says, Shenemar, because it says in Pasig, you should not have Sa'or in your house, in your possession. Now, what exactly is this last part of the Mishnah telling us, Shenemar? There are two ways to understand it. If it's explaining why Chametz Sha'avar Alav HaPesach of a Jewish person is Asur Bahano, as we mentioned, that is a knas, that is a derabanan. So why is the Mishnah quoting a pasuk? So you'd have to explain it, that the way the Bartanurus explains, that the knas was, the derabanan said, because you were over in lo yiro lecha, the derabanan gave a knas, and that's why they penalized you. That's the shenemar. The reason the derabanan gave a knas, the reason the derabanan penalized him, is because he was over on the pasuk of lo yiro lecha. That's one way of understanding this last part of the Mishnah of Shenemar. Another pshat that's brought down in the Bartanura is that the Shenemar is not going on the last comment of the Mishnah. It's going back on the first comment of the Mishnah that says that chametz of a non-Jew is mutter. So the Mishnah goes back and explains the reason why chametz of a non-Jew is mutter, whereas chametz of a Jewish person is obviously aser, is because we learned it out from le'yiro lecha. And the Gemara says, shelcha yatoroe, that you're not allowed to have your own chametz, but of a non-Jew, you're allowed to. There's no iser of lo yiroah. It's only lecha. So that is how you interpret the Shenemar. It's either going on the last part of the Mishnah, or it's going on the first part of the Mishnah. One other comment that I wanted to mention earlier, when we spoke about why doesn't it say by a non-Jewish person that not only is it mutar b'hanah, but that the chametz that passed over Pesach is even mutar b'achila. So we gave the explanation of the style and the consistency of the Mishnah. However, the Mishnayis Mevoeres Kahati brings down that the Yerushalmi explains that there were some who had the custom, they were makbid not to eat bread from a non-Jew, pas akum. And therefore, because they did not eat pas akum, the Mishnah did not want to say an open blanket statement that it's mutar b'achila, because some people who do not eat pasakum, and therefore the Mishnah just focused on the fact that it's mutar b'hano. That's the end of Mishnah Beis. Let's continue learning Mishnah Gimel. Says the Mishnah, Nachri Shehilva Es Yisrael Al Chametzai. We're talking about loans between a Jew and a non-Jew, and the question of whether, if you have the chametz as a mashkin, as a collateral, and the loan was given with the following understanding. In the first case of the Mishnah, Nachri Shehilves Yisrael, a non-Jew loaned money to a Jewish person, al chametzo, using the Jewish person's chametz as collateral. So a Jewish person borrowed money, gave him a bunch of loaves of bread or boxes of cereal or whatever it is, chametz, and told him that if I don't pay you back by such and such a date, then retroactively, this chametz will become yours. Not that the chametz becomes yours at the due date of the loan, but it'll be retroactive. Says the Mishnah, Nach Rishilvas Yisrael al chametzo, if a non-Jew lent money to a Jewish person and the chametz was used as collateral, and the condition was that if it wasn't paid back, the loan wasn't paid back, that it was retroactively the property of the non-Jew. So then, achara Pesach, after Pesach, this chametz that was used as collateral, mutter b'hano, it's mutter b'hano. Why? Because effectively it was retroactively owned by the non-Jew. And as we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, there is no isser of a non-Jew to have chametz or a Jew to benefit from that chametz after Pesach. And therefore, it's mutter b'hano. What about a different case where you have a Jewish person lending money to a non-Jew? Yisrael, Shehilves Anochri al Chametzo, you have a Jewish person lending money to a non-Jewish person, and the non-Jewish person had given his chametz as collateral to the Jew, which of course has to have been locked up, even if it's on the Jewish person's property, it would have to be locked up with mechitzas to prevent the Jewish person from coming to eat it on Pesach, but that's not what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is referring to whether it can be used after Pesach. So achar Pesach asur b'hano. After Pesach it would be asur b'hano. Why? Because in the same case, basically the non-Jew is telling the Jew that if I do not pay you back by such and such a date after Pesach, then the chametz becomes retroactively yours. And if the chametz becomes retroactively that of the Jews, then he effectively owned chametz on Pesach, did not dispose of it in the way prescribed by the Chachamim, and therefore it would be asur b'hano. So that is the first case of our Mishnah, or the first discussion of our Mishnah. Now the Mishnah has another issue, another case that has to do with a substitute, a potential substitute for bir chametz. We mentioned in Mishnah Aleph that there's a machlokas whether you can rid yourself of chametz if it had to be through burning specifically, according to Rabbi Yehuda, or according to the Chachamim, you can dispose of it in another manner. So the Gemara, the Mishnah tells us here's a case where chametz Shenoflo lo mapolas. You have a piece of chametz, and a pile, a wall, a fence, a pile of stones fell upon the chametz. You know this chametz there, and this happened before, of course, before Pesach, during the Zman that you would have to get rid of the chametz. So the Mishnah tells you, Harehu kimivuor, kimivoyar. It is considered as if this chametz is not in the world, that it was destroyed and gotten rid of, and therefore you do not have to you don't have to do anything to get rid of it. Nevertheless, the Bratanur tells us that you should still do bittul. You don't have to go pulling up the rocks and trying to rid of the chametz, but you should still do bittul. You should nullify it in your heart, so this way, should it for any reason reappear on Pesach, you would not have a problem of bal yirah. So it says the Mishnah Harei Kumavor, it considers it as if it's disposed of. It says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that, and according to the Rambam, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is just explaining the Tana of our Mishnah, the Tana Kama. He is not arguing. So he says, Kol she'en ha-kelev yochol l'chapes achrav. That which we say that if a pile of stones falls upon chametz, you do not have to do a bedika or a beer, and it's considered as if it was rid of, that you got rid of it. That is only if it is 3 tefachim high, the pile of stones, so that's a measurement that a dog who would go digging for food would not be able to dig it out. If it was less than 3 tefachim high, and therefore a dog or an animal would be able to go dig out the chametz, then we are afraid that on Pesach, the animal might come and dig out the chametz, and then you're going to have a problem. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that you have to provide some kind of a measurement as to the height of this pile of stones, and that measurement is, which Rabbanan says, 3 tefachim, if an animal can reach it during Pesach or not. With that, we end Mishnah Gimel. Look forward to continuing Perek Beis Mishnah Dalet tomorrow. Thanks.